The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, from the 15th chapter, glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning comes from Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 1621. Luke records, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' And then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So this morning, we heard just a part of the great lost and found parable according to Luke. And Jesus combined three parables together to make one grand parable in order to drive home the main point. We heard the first two of these parables today. The third parable is commonly called the parable of the prodigal son. And all three of these parables illustrate the fact that Jesus calls all people to himself. He came to save all people in all places and in all times. And as the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 2:2, he wrote this: "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Jesus had been serving the tax collectors and sinners with his teaching from the Holy Scriptures. And the scribes and the Pharisees, well, these guys, they thought that this was a blasphemous use of those Holy Scriptures. After all, they would be thinking, after all, were not the Holy Scriptures primarily for people who at least tried to be holy? We read in Luke 15, 1 and 2, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes, they grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners, and he eats with them.'" You see, Jesus was actually drawing the most dishonorable members of society to himself. And the Pharisees and the scribes were livid. They were livid that Jesus would do such a thing. And so Jesus told this great three-parable to illustrate that receiving sinners and eating with them was the main reason that he took on human flesh and he dwelt among us. Jesus wanted the scribes and he wanted the Pharisees to see that they were also sinners who were in need of a Savior. Jesus began with a parable about a shepherd with 100 sheep. He said, "What man of you," he asked, "having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" There is incredible comfort in these words. That is, once you understand that you are the lost sheep and Jesus is the shepherd, you begin to understand at this point that even if you were the only sinner on the planet, Jesus would still search for you. He would still become human so that he could die on the cross for you. He would still endure the wrath of God for you. He would still suffer everything, even if you were the only sinner on earth, for you. Jesus continued with Luke 15:5-6. He continues with this, "And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.'" And it is at this point in the parable that you should ask yourself, what has the sheep done? What has the sheep done? The shepherd is the one that searched. The shepherd searched for the sheep. The shepherd is the one that found the sheep. The shepherd carried the sheep on his shoulders. The shepherd rejoiced as he carried his sheep home. The shepherd, he invited his friends and his neighbors to celebrate with him because he found the lost sheep. In this entire parable, the only thing the sheep did was get lost. Then Jesus gave the meaning to the parable in Luke 15:7. He said this, "Just so, I'm telling you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Did you catch that? With these words, Jesus revealed that the sheep in the parable represented a sinner, and the associates of the shepherd represent the community of heaven, and this means that the shepherd represented the sinner's Savior. But what about that repentance? Well, the sheep did nothing in the parable. Absolutely nothing except for get lost, right? If the sheep represents the sinner, then the sinner does nothing. That means that the repentance that causes joy in heaven is not work. It's not work that the sinner does, but a work that God does for you, for the sinner. Just as the shepherd does everything for the sheep, God does everything for you. God does everything for you. He even produces repentance in you. But what about the 99 sheep? Did those sheep return to the fold? Or are they still roaming around in the open country? I've often asked, what happened to them? Well, these 99 sheep, they actually refer to somebody, and that is the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees insisted that they were already virtuous in themselves and had no need to repent. Imagine that. Therefore, Jesus ironically referred to them as the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Well, the scribes and the Pharisees would hear the irony in Jesus' description of the 99, and they would know that he was talking about them. Jesus was calling them to repent, though. Very gently, he was calling them to repent. Jesus wanted to rescue them. Jesus wanted to carry them into eternal celebration in his kingdom. He wanted them to rejoice with all the company of heaven, including the tax collectors, including the sinners who also received the gift of repentance. Now, on the other hand, if the scribes and the Pharisees insisted that they had absolutely no need to repent, then their own stubbornness already condemned them to an eternity outside the kingdom of God. Jesus reinforced the teaching of the parable of the lost sheep in the second parable that he had told. In the second parable, Jesus compared God to a woman searching for a coin. Now, in those days, most people, they lived in one-room houses that, well, they would be packed with dirt and pebble floors. And more than likely, the only light that would be in, when you open the door, there would be some light. And perhaps there might have been a small window. So the image is that the woman is on her elbows and on her knees, and she's holding up a lamp near the floor with one hand, and she's gently sweeping, looking for the coin with her other hand. But the themes are the same. Something is lost. The owner searches for it and finds it. The owner invites the community to celebrate the restoration of the lost possession. And the meaning of both parables is this: when God rescues sinners by bringing them to repentance, there is a celebration in heaven. And on the other hand, there's always the other hand, sinners who reject the rescue, well, they remain condemned in their own sin. Jesus talked. He talked about repentance a whole lot. Excuse me. Repentance is so important that after Jesus rose from the dead, he said that the mission of the church was to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. That's Luke 24:47. Also, I take us to the Augsburg Confession that says this: repentance consists of two parts. One part is contrition, that is, terrors striking the conscience through the knowledge of sin. And the other part is faith, which is born of the gospel, or the absolution that believes that for Christ's sake, sins are forgiven. That's the Augsburg Confession. It's Article 12, Law and Gospel. We don't like the first part of repentance. We really don't. The part that includes the knowledge of sin. I don't like it. I know it's there, but I don't like it. And it means that we must admit that we are by nature really bad people. We don't like that. We would prefer to think that we are good people. And that was the problems that the Pharisees and the scribes had. And that's still our problem today. Jesus told this grand lost and found parable in order to teach the Pharisees, the scribes, and us what John wrote in his first epistle in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. John recorded, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Further, he said, "If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us." God's search for lost sinners is so much more profound than we could be told in any one parable. The truth is, Jesus began his search long ago. In fact, Paul wrote in the letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1:4, he wrote, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." And it's in these words that Paul tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, began his search for us even before the world began. Today's reading from the Old Testament, from the prophet Ezekiel, we heard that same prophet promise. "For thus says the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them. I will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." In today's gospel, Jesus tells us that he fulfilled this promise that he made in the days of the prophet Ezekiel. Scripture proves scripture. You heard me say it kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's like it's all connected. Well, it is. It is. When the time was right, we know. The time was right, the Son of God, he continued his search by taking on flesh. And he searched for us. And he humbled himself under the law, even though he is the master of the law. And as he searched for us in his perfect life, he encountered the great predator, which is death itself. And as Jesus died on that cross, it seemed as though death had ended the search. But that was not the case. We know that. What death did not know was this, that Jesus intended to conquer death with his death. And Jesus suffered on the cross for us, but in his suffering, he did not suffer defeat. And instead, he conquered. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And he conquered the power of the devil. The victory that Jesus won on the cross, it became evident when he burst forth from the tomb on that third day. And it is his resurrection that assures us that his victory on the cross earned salvation for you and for me and for Charlie and for all who believe. We are forgiven. Jesus Christ has adopted us into his family. And the whole point of the 99 sheep and the 9 coins is that the people who insist that they are not sinners also insist that they do not need Jesus. Those who insist that they are not bad also insist that they do not need Jesus. Those who insist that they are not lost are the most lost of all. The shepherd leaves the 99 sheep. The woman leaves the 9 coins. The search is for the one that is lost. And this saying is trustworthy. You heard it earlier from Paul to his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So this morning, I want you to remember. I want you to remember your baptism. On that day, God found you and he rescued another sinner through the wet gospel of holy baptism. Jesus searched for you and he found you. And because it is God who works repentance in us, you didn't even have to know what the word meant. If you were a little baby, it didn't matter. He worked repentance. He worked salvation on you because he did the work. So, it is God who now works repentance in you this very day. And what joy there is, what joy there is before the angels in heaven over one sinner who repents. What joy there is on earth among those sinners, all who are forgiven. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen.